greet you this evening. Maybe I can mention at this point that after the service, there's been a joint effort organized to provide tea for anyone who can stay on. I encourage you to stay if you possibly can. So thank you to those who have arranged that. The service this evening will be a little different from usual. I will lead you through as we go and the various parts of it. And first to begin by reading from Psalm 130. You may care to follow Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Now let us pray. Almighty and merciful Father, we have sinned. We have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the inclinations and desires of our own hearts too often. We have offended against your holy laws. It's we who have left not done things we ought to have done. And we have done what we ought not to have done. There is no wholeness in us. But you, O Lord, will you have mercy on us in the state of misery our sin brings upon us? Do spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your own promises declared to men in Christ Jesus our Lord. And most merciful Father, for his sake, grant that we may go on living a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who does not desire the death of a sinner, but that he may turn from his wickedness and live, we thank you for your word's declaration of the remission or the forgiveness of sins. So grant pardon, we pray, to all who truly repent and believe the Holy Gospel. We therefore pray that you will grant us that true repentance and your Holy Spirit, that our lives now will please you, and that the rest of our lives will be pure and holy, even as you are holy. And at last, that we may enter your eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us turn to sing the praise of our God in Psalm 98, verses 1 to 4, page 129. The psalm of praise for God's saving work in his mercy and in great wonder. And see too how the psalm concludes with, or that these words conclude by recognizing his equity, his justice. Psalm 98, we'll just sing the first verses marked 1 to 4, 5 stanzas, to the praise of God. Let's stand to sing this new song to the Lord for his great saving work.
Oh, sing a new song to the Lord, for wonders he has done. His right hand and his holy arm, the victory have won. The Lord has set his saving work and made him to be known to all the nations of the world. His right
If you would now open with me to the book of Psalms and turning to that same psalm, we sang part of it just now, but let us read this psalm together, Psalm 98. And I would invite you to share in this reading this evening, but I would ask you to respond by reading every second verse. If I read the first, that the congregation read the second, and in that sequence. Psalm 98 in the Church Bible on page 533. I read the first, if you would read the second, and so on together. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory.
The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations.
He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Bring forth his song, rejoice and sing praises.
Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world, and the peoples with equity. This is God's word, and we seek his blessing upon it. And I would briefly speak a little on this psalm. We are surrounded by Christmas things. We spoke this morning of the coming of the Lord Jesus. The Old Testament psalm speaks of God's remarkable victory, his remarkable salvation that he has shown in the sight of the nations. This is the mighty work of God for man's salvation. In Psalm 130, as we began the service, we see that in God's justice, no one is safe. No one can stand. But that psalm goes on to say that God does forgive. Indeed, he is the only one able to forgive. While our sins are more than enough to keep us from God, Psalm 130 says, yet his redemption is abundant. Why is this? Why does God look on us and give his redemption? We have every right to be judged. We have every right to be cast away from his presence. As Psalm 8 puts it, what is man that God should think of him? But God does think of man. And so Psalm 8 goes on to say, to God be the glory. And so it is, as we find here in Psalm 98, this call to sing a new song. In other words, a song that could not be sung before they knew of his salvation. Before we knew of his salvation. It is a song in response to his salvation. As is every psalm that makes a call to that. It's not necessarily that it's a song that's not found yet in the Bible, but it's something that comes out of a new heart, a new condition, a realization that God has brought us into a new life. And this psalm tells us how this is. Why is it that God has done such a thing? It tells us in verse 3 that he has done it because he has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. Mercy, you perhaps know a definition for it. It's holding back the judgment that we deserve. Or giving instead love, great compassion, loving kindness. because of our desperate state, as the Catechism puts it, we're in a state of sin and misery. But God has great loving kindness, and that's the reason. That's the only reason. Not because I deserve it, not because I have a claim on him, but because of his mercy. And also because of his faithfulness to the house of Israel. To Israel. Go back to Abraham for a moment. God made a covenant with Abraham. He swore it by an oath. This was a binding agreement. God made it. And effectively he said, as you might remember that picture where Abraham in the darkness, he had laid out the animals. Effectively God was saying, that death that has come upon these animals, that will be mine. He didn't share it with Abraham. He said, it will be mine if this covenant is broken. And you know that God is all-knowing. God is all-seeing. God is ordaining all things. He knew Israel would break that covenant. I will die if this covenant is broken, he said, when he knew that it would be broken. Not just if I break it, God would not break it. But if you, the other party to this covenant, break it. And it couldn't be otherwise. We've acknowledged ourselves to be sinners. Israel would always break a covenant with God. Even as he entered into that covenant, God said, I will die when it breaks, is broken. And so he did die. He became a man. We heard of that this morning. He was born a man to die for men. His arm won the victory in a mighty way that could not be prevented. And that's what Christ and Christmas is about. The coming of God in the form of a man, truly man, to be one with us, to bring about this redemption, to pay the price of redemption. And this is known. The psalm tells us it's known in the sight of all the nations. It is known. I was racking my brain to think, is there a country in this world where something of Christmas is not known? There'll be many places where it will be forbidden to observe it. Even a place like North Korea, I believe, knows of Christmas. At least known about. Even those, and perhaps especially those who persecute his people, those who bear his name, resistant to his name, resistant to the seed of the gospel that is before them. Who doesn't know about Christmas? And if you know of Christmas and you hear of it, you hear a little at the very least, a seed, it may be the smallest of seeds, of the birth of this baby Jesus. You're accountable for what you do with that, with what you know of him. You're accountable when you hear of the angels and the remarkable events around his birth that we attempt to celebrate. And that is that gospel seed we'll read of in a moment in Matthew's gospel. When Tuesday comes, along with everything else that's going on, I would urge you to take a moment to step away quiet and to think again on where the birth of Jesus came from and where it led to and what it signifies for you, having heard it once. Recall just how amazingly God has achieved his desire that men should live and not die. That promise is true. He does this saving work because of his faithfulness. He upholds his word and will not let it go. It will happen. The heathen prophet said, is God a man that he should lie? Has he said and will he not do it? God said, he was faithful, he saves. Take him at his word now. Put your trust in him in everything. Renew your trust in him. Devote yourself to his way. Ask that he will show you the way of obedience that leads then to his glory. The psalm tells us it's a great saving work. But who gets the praise? Who is the focus of attention? You are saved for his sake. That's an immense privilege. It's an amazing salvation. You're saved too for his joy. And just a couple of words further from Psalm 36. Just listen. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. It's also that we might be satisfied in the pleasures of God. And so just briefly, a short word on this amazing salvation that is spoken of around the world, will be especially on Tuesday. Let us acknowledge with greater understanding, greater appreciation, a great love for the one who has loved us. There's another psalm that I would call you to sing together, Psalm 40, a psalm that also tells of what God has done, that leads to us telling it out. We must respond to his work. Psalm 40, we'll take the traditional version on page 259. When God has saved in such a way, a witness and a testimony is called for. Psalm 40, and we'll just sing again the first four verses, and from verse 1. I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. And what is the psalmist waiting for? What is his cry for? That he should be taken out of the fearful pit from the miry clay. And on a rock he set my feet, establishing my way. He put a new song in my mouth for his saving work. Let's sing that song together now. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 4.
I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. And when to me he did incline my voice and cries to him. He took me from
bow before God once more, and let us turn to him in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, Father, our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we would offer to you, O Lord, our thanks for your salvation that salvation in him that is so far beyond the thoughts of man. We only need to look around us as you look upon us, O Lord, and every other thought and every other solution to man's troubles. None come near what you have done, giving yourself. So we give thanks, O Lord, for the forgiveness that you promise, by that gift that Jesus made of himself in our place. We thank you, O God, for our daily provisions, even today, once more, as you have fed us and clothed us. We thank you, too, for the strengths and the skills, the opportunities that we have in life, given that we might glorify you. Help us, we pray, to serve you well in all that we are, in all that we do, that we would respond, that we would humbly rejoice that you have seen fit to put these things into our lives and to call us to live them out and to return the glory to our God. As we give thanks, we continue to pray. We pray that you will give us our daily bread, that you would grant us health in body and in mind. At this time of the year, we pray especially for a blessing on the holiday time, perhaps just a few days for some, holiday time for our children, and others getting a longer break. We pray for your upholding for all who do continue at work, and ask that you would grant safety in travel when that's necessary. Not only in body and mind, O Lord, keep us in spirit, that in all things we will see that much more clearly and attend to the things of true value. May your grace be at work through us. We pray that your grace would work in our, that we should be gracious to all. That, as your word says, as far as lies in us, that we should be at peace with all men. And especially, O Lord, humble us as we deal with one another, and so much more as we approach you now and live before you. We give thanks for your promise to provide grace to those who humble themselves before you. We plead for help in our every time of need. And we give thanks, O Lord, for the love of our Lord Jesus toward us, so that we can love you, we can love him, we can love others too. And we pray that as we remember your saving work, remember where we would be except for your Spirit and your grace and your Son and your great love, that we would go on in assurance of your presence, that we will each know your indwelling in our hearts, and so go forth testifying of Christ, that we have a living hope found only in him. And so we are mindful of others also, Lord. We pray for so many who touch our lives in one way or another, many great needs around us. We remember that our Lord Jesus prays for us before your presence, and we would seek to pray for others. We pray for our wider families, a number of folk with physical needs, for ourselves here, but also for others of the congregation and their families. We pray that where there are needs or provisions, that this will also have a spiritual bearing. There will be a recognition that all that is received, all good things, are from our God in heaven. We would remember today, too, all those who have been with us in times past and have gone from us, that you would uphold them where they are and that they will be an influence for good in every circle where you have sent them. We pray for so many around us as you do provide your rich grace in great abundance to all. We pray for those who do receive the riches of your grace daily, that each one would turn an eye to you and consider their ways, both for now and for the age to come. And so we pray for the many who may attend churches on late tomorrow or on Tuesday, who don't otherwise, that there would be an opening of ears and minds and hearts to hear that your seed would be in, the seed of your word would be implanted in them. But we remember too, Lord, that there are many who suffer hardship, for whom these things are far beyond them, in this country and also further afield. We pray that you would grant those near them who can help and provide, for the homeless, for the abused, for the lonely, for those who may be sick or disabled. We would pray for those, again, for those who have been flooded in the same way, seeking your help, especially through your people, but also through your grace, through many others. Looking abroad, there are those who suffer because of droughts or conflicts. And in the light of these things, O Lord, where there is plenty, except for thankfulness, we pray for a change of heart, that eyes would be lifted up, that hands would reach out and help. Your church, O Lord, may we be strong in every place to serve you, not to claim that we love God and do nothing to demonstrate our love for our brother. Where your church prospers, be at work, we pray that your people would walk humbly and thankfully, and especially offering the gospel to the needy world. If your church is suffering or discouraged, would you hold up weary hands, ease the path before your people through a sight of yourself, though a circumstance may remain difficult. May each of your people, we included, go on in knowledge of your victory gained by your right arm, your mighty hand. We so therefore pray too, especially for our country. We pray for our Queen as she prepares to address the nation on Tuesday, that she will set a good tone. We pray, O Lord, that from the top, the leadership of the land, there would be righteousness found. We ask for the government and those in opposition, those who are our leaders, and so often it would seem these days, guided by the spirit of man, that there would be a return to the enduring principles of truth and justice, only to be found through the knowledge of God. And all who have a part to play in the formation of our nation and its condition, we pray that there would be a looking for whatever is noble and just and pure, whatever is lovely, of good report and virtue, to look for the things that are praiseworthy. Lord, may there be light in the midst of darkness, and may your honor be restored and prosper. We come to you, O God of hope, the God of mercy, peace, and comfort, pleading that you would draw near to us, hold us near and true to you. Do work your honor and praise, both in us and through us. So we pray for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, and only in his name. Amen. As we have been speaking of God's amazing salvation, let's turn once more and another short item of praise in Psalm 106, as you'll find it on page 140, just the two first stanzas, verses marked 1 to 5. And it is a call to praise the Lord, to extol his goodness, given reasons for his love endures always. But there is also a prayer in verse 4, when you show your people favor, then, O Lord, remember me. And so that call out of the hope that God provides through his saving work, that this should be our desire also. Psalm 106, verses 1 to 5.
Praise the Lord, extol his goodness, for his love endures always. Who can tell his mighty actions, or in full declare his praise? Let our Lord's whose way is right, acting justly in his sight. When you show your people favor, then, O Lord, remember me. Help me when you come to save them. Let me know God's sacrifice. Joyful with your chosen race, joining them in giving praise.
We'll turn now to our continued readings in the Gospel according to Matthew. As it were, this continues in its own way something of the story that we've been following. One of the greatest, you might say, of the parables that very much sets the pattern, both of understanding the parables and the realization of the way that God does his work by his word. God's word and his spirit is at the center of this and demonstrates that this is the path and the hope for a life of fruitfulness. Matthew chapter 13, reading from the beginning of the chapter. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. They immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came to him and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So far in this part of God's word. And we'll make our response by turning to sing that, we think, well-known Psalm 23, the traditional versions on page 229. Remember the words that Jesus spoke there in the parable. The two middle groups, especially those who would appear to bear some fruit or to grow initially, but there are those things that would strike them down. The psalm speaks of quite a number of ways in which a man might be struck down, taken away from the Lord, but it's a profession of the Lord's hold upon his heart. Again, further progress in this message of God's saving work. Psalm 23 then, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want, through to the end of the psalm. Again, to stand to sing.
The Lord my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He redeems me. The quiet woman's time. My soul is up, restored again, and me to walk the way within the path of
and my cup, oh.
closing prayer this evening. Let us pray. All holy God, all holy desires, all wisdom, all good works come from you. So now we ask that you will give peace to us as your servants, that peace that this world cannot give. Work that peace in us that our hearts may be set to obey your word, and that in every condition of life we will be at rest and quietness of spirit through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And further, God's word, Paul writing to the Colossians, you might say something of a summary of our life together, our life in Christ, the foundation for such life. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 to 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This also is God's word. And we make our final response this evening by singing the few verses of Psalm 134, the psalm that speaks of being brought into service of our God, surely a place of humbling privilege and honor. And as the psalm treats it, only praise is right and proper, and there is that promise of blessing to remain upon you. Psalm 134, version A on page 175. Let's stand to sing and remain standing for God's blessing after that.
Praise the Lord, all you His servants, and you serve with one accord. Praise the Lord in your night watches, in the temple of the Lord. Raise your hands within His temple to the
God grant his blessing. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen.